Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the Monday Rundown is brought to you, as always, by our friends at Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. Make sure and get your flag for your man cave or your tailgate or anything else in between. And Heartland Flags has everything that you could ever need when it comes to flags.
You can put your Cardinals flag out for grab a new Cardinals flag to celebrate the rebuilding effort.
I'm just going to ignore that you said that, and I'm going to continue on with my ad reads.
All right, sorry.
Cyclone Fanatic is also sponsored by our friends at Tailgate Clothing. If you've noticed us doing our countdown to kickoff here leading up to September 1st, they are the presenting sponsor of that. Every Saturday, your tailgate checklist has the grill, the charcoal, and the food. You have the music, games, and a cooler stocked with ice-cold drinks. You have the tickets. Wait, Rob, you remember the tickets, right? Okay, well, go back and grab the tickets.
I got them.
But whatever tried and true Tailgate Pro will tell you is a stop by the Tailgate Clothing Company. In Iowa tradition, for the best in true fan apparel since 1997, you're invited to the grand opening at Jordan Creek Town Center on Friday, August 3rd. Plus, enjoy tax-free shopping on your favorite styles while you're at it.
It's a shame me and you can't be there on the 3rd because of that's the big practice.
Yeah.
Unveil.
The two-part practice on Friday afternoon.
Take the early part, you get the late part.
Yep. It's going to be a good time. That's what we're going to do here for our Monday rundown. We've each got three guys we're most excited to see during the open practice on Friday. I'll let you lead it off.
Well, I think we should put in the disclaimer that we're not necessarily mentioning the guys like David Montgomery, who we kind of know what we've got, and Hakeem Butler and some of those guys, Kempt, mix it up a little bit. Not that these aren't star potential or star guys too, but just not the obvious ones. I'm going with Colin Newell, who we heard a ton about obviously when he committed and joined the program last season, and heard a lot more about in the spring. If he can really play center the way that, you know, Campbell and company intimated that it could be possible, that's just huge for this offensive line to finally get to be a, I mean, they've been building slowly back from well below average, and I think they're finally getting a group assembled that can really create space. It's not David Montgomery shedding tacklers constantly, but they can really get him 5 yards before he has to worry about shedding a tackler versus negative one when he's shedding tacklers. Right. So, I mean, if he can burst onto the scene as expected as a redshirt freshman, you know, you allow Julian Good-Jones to move over, and, you know, all the other guys who they've got coming back, your Meekers, so much good potential on that O-line to really be something more than kind of a stumbling block a little bit.
Right.
That's really intriguing to me. Also, just to hear from him as an Ames kid and now young man as a Cyclone, looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the thing about him is that he just gives them so much more flexibility with what they can do with those five guys, you know, the top five. And you get into more of a sticky situation, I think, if he doesn't end up ready to play. But from everything we've heard, he is going to be ready to roll.
Indeed. Indeed. And, I mean, how much is flexibility, you know, positional flexibility, kind of a buzz term for Coach Campbell, for any coach, really. But, I mean, he's stressed it many times. To enhance that, especially at an area that, you know, God bless them, they work darn hard. But still is not quite up to the level of some of the other position groups. Hopefully can take a big leap with the addition of Colin Newell there and some really good guys coming back.
Yeah, for sure. All right, my first guy is Kenny Nwangwu. Obviously, you know, we all know why it is that he's intriguing. Didn't get to play at all last season. Has been called the fastest guy in the program for a full 2 years since he's been here. Alan Lazard said he's even faster after having Achilles surgery. If he can come back and be the weapon that everybody thinks he can, that dude adds another dynamic to the Iowa State offense. just because of where the number of places you can line him up, how long it takes him to get from 0 to 100 and all of a sudden be past everybody and headed towards the end zone.
Absolutely. And how, I mean, you see it all the time. Top teams, elite teams, have a game changer in the return game.
Yeah.
And he clearly was that before he was hurt. I fully expect him to be that now. I mean, how many games turn because you got a special teams touchdown? How many games turn, you know, because, you know, defense kind of on its heels and all of a sudden you return a kick for a touchdown?
Yeah.
You know, and the momentum completely shifts. I think he offers them that. And as you said, I mean, he can do so many things and he can be deployed in so many different ways. I think Montgomery also said that he might have been faster than before when asked about him. You know, he always raves about his teammates, which is one of his many good qualities. But, yeah, I mean, to see that kind of, to have that kind of burner on the field, if in fact, I mean, I don't see any reason why those guys would be blowing smoke.
Right.
He's even better than before. That's an extremely exciting development.
Okay, for sure. All right, who you got number two?
Number two, I have Matt Eaton. Now, I think we know what we're going to have. I think Butler is going to be your new marquee guy.
Yeah.
I think, and you never know, but he seems to have been groomed for that. He seems to be well-positioned for that. He seems to have the talent for that and the mindset for that. But Matt Eaton, recall, at least I recall, when he came in, Coach Campbell said he was a number one receiver type. And he showed some of those skills. He had one prominent drop, I remember, but he made some really nice catches and he made some really nice contributions. I'm trying to remember 4 touchdowns last season. I think the best is yet to come for him. I really think he's going to burst forth and be that number one receiver type. Like we have a 1 and a 1A, and unless we forget also if DeShante Jones kind of gets it going again. I mean, you've got a really, really explosive position group there. But I like Matt Eaton's physicality. I like his ups. I think his route running is only going to improve. He blocks well. I mean, I just think he's going to make a big, big leap as expected. And it'd been exciting to see him, to see what he can bring to the table this season.
I'll keep it in the receiver room. My guy is Tariq Melton. I think that he's another dude who adds just another dynamic to those group of receivers. You know, I think he's a little bit more in the DeShante Jones mold than he is the Matt Eaton or Hakeem Butler. But the more guys that they've got that they can throw those little quick outs to and just get the ball in their hands in space and just let them go to work with those wide receivers that we know can block pretty well, then, I mean, I think that, you know, like I said, it just adds another further dynamic to the offense and it just gets more guys that are really fast out there.
Just think how well, I mean, if he's as advertised and as people have professed, just what he, you know, the impact he made in the spring, etc. I mean, the way they're going to be able to stretch the field and the way they're going to be able to not shrink the field, but widen the field and use him, Jones, slot, and the, you know, like you said, those quick out screens. I mean, this is... I know we've talked about it before, how jacked everyone is for this season, but this offense just looks fully loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, ready to make big plays all over the place, any down, any distance. He brings a dynamic that we expect to bring. Man, that's going to open up so many more things for your Butlers, your Eatons, Chase Allen. Downfield at times, and the way those guys block too. I mean, yeah, it's hard not to be extremely excited about those prospects.
For sure. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back with each of our last guys on our list here on the Monday Rundown, presented by Heartland Flags.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, you know, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, you know, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it, that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to the CF Rundown. Jared Sansbury, Rob Gray. All right, who's your last guy on your list of guys you're excited to see as fall camp gets underway?
Yeah, there's so many guys, but I'm going to go, because I can also do a little plug, I'm going to go Jaquan Bailey. Mm-hmm. Just his pass rush. I mean, he had it from the beginning, but his moves, his power, his speed, extremely impressive. I'd like to see him drop the quarterback many, many, many times this season, and he seems poised to be able to do that. You know, he's matured. You know, he's had the little things. Just as an aside, how ridiculous was it that he was called for a penalty when he did that little just kind of like somersault off to the sideline? I mean, come on.
think how that flipped momentum, though, in that game.
It did. And think about that when you
compare. Because they got them to go three and out right away. Yeah.
And you've got guys in the end zone doing sometimes almost NFL-type stuff.
Yeah.
And nope, nothing. Oh, wait a minute. What did that guy do? He kind of did a little tumble over by the side, you know, like a 3.5 out of 10 somersault. I'm going to flag that. I mean, but he's just so ultra-talented. And I believe sometime this week, it all depends on our scheduling and what we got going on. I'm going to have where are they now on Iowa State's all-time sacks leader, Sean Moorhead, who I caught up with some help from good old Coach McCarney. Mm-hmm. Recently, and you know, former walk-on. He wasn't even a preferred walk-on at first. There's some intriguing aspects to his story, which otherwise is the usual just work ethic. Everything else, played on some great Cyclone teams that could have been a lot better. The fabled 2005 team that probably should have been a double-digit win team, but three overtime, double overtime losses in there, and I think four games by a field goal, or a 7-win team that fell by a field goal to TCU in the Houston Bowl. That'll be coming out in the coming days. And he said flat out, just like anybody, just like Todd Blythe said about Alan Lazard, break my records. I want him to fall. That means that Iowa State's good, and I'm excited about, he's excited about the direction, obviously, as everyone else is around the program. And Jaquan, I think, is ready to potentially shatter that mark, which, frankly, Iowa State hasn't had a lot of big pass-rushing numbers, basically, throughout its history. And I think Jaquan's a guy that kind of breaks the mold there.
Keeping it in the conversation of pass rushing, my last guy is Matt Leo. And he played, I think that both those guys will play a role. Here's another quick little plug. You know what the record for sacks in a season by an Iowa State defense is?
I do not.
It's 32.
32, okay. So that's an average of 2.5 per game, roughly?
Yeah. I'm saying it's a plug because tomorrow's 32 days till
kickoff. So there we go.
There you go. There's your... there we go. A little tease for everybody.
What year was that?
I want to say it was... Man, okay, now I got to go back and look. I just wrote down...
They had a great line, and what a great defense that was in 2005, too. I mean, you got Moorhead, coming. It kind of came out of nowhere, although he'd done stuff. He came out of nowhere really in 2004. Mm-hmm. But you've still got Curvey. You got Tyson Smith. Nick Leaders.
Yep.
I mean, that's a...
Jason Berryman.
Berryman was back. Yep, yep. That was a heck of a group.
All right. Got my handy records here, maybe. Season best, 1998.
Okay.
So, the 2005 team was probably up there, though. Yeah, they had 27.
Mm-hmm. Where was 2000?
2000 is not in the top 10.
Okay. Still a solid defense.
Actually, 2015 is third, which you wouldn't
really
have thought. Yeah.
Was that the Dale Pearson year?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, I think so. When they had, he had 8.5, tied the record.
Yeah.
DeMond Tucker.
Yeah.
Jostin Thomas.
Yep. Where is Joss? Oh, man. Jostin Thomas.
I have no idea where Jostin Thomas is now. I bet he's on a practice squad with somebody. That dude was too big to not get on somebody's practice squad.
Two just freaky, athletic, talented.
I do not think...
He was a fun guy to interview, too. When he actually talked, when I asked him about basketball, he talked.
Yeah.
But every other time, he was like, man.
I always see... I see DeMond Tucker on Twitter all the time. He's always tweeting about the Cyclones still.
Yeah, yeah. Is he back in Mississippi?
I have no idea. I'm just still disappointed that he never...
He should at least be at... He's got at least CFL talent.
Never lived up to his billing as the self-declared Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
That's true. That's true. But why not aim high?
Yeah.
Why not aim high? He was still a darn good player.
He was
great
a good player.
Cyclone.
Yeah. He would have been an NFL guy if he wouldn't have been like 5'10".
Yep. It's just like how he wouldn't have been at Iowa State probably.
Yeah, right.
Except that he was an inch or two short for that spot.
For sure. All right, but yeah, Matt Leo was my... I don't know if I ever even said
yeah,
that.
Let's yeah, let's talk about Matt Leo.
Yeah, Matt Leo was my last guy. Obviously, someone everybody was really excited about going into last season, and then just had an injury, ended up redshirting. I want to see how that one more year of learning the game of football has helped him improve, has made him more of a dangerous athlete, I mean, which is basically what they knew he was going to be from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone marveled at the physical condition he was in as he came in. Just almost looked like a bodybuilder. But the strength is there, too. It's not just showy. Another example of a kind of a freakish athlete if he can make an impact, mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing how quickly the D-line has become a strength.
Yeah.
For Iowa State, and that's obviously one of the big reasons the defense has become so formidable.
For sure. All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Jared.
Talk to you guys again soon. We'll have a lot more here in the coming days. Peace.